Good afternoon and welcome to A Look at the Arts. I'm Tom Lounges, and today we are going to reflect back and remember the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley. Yeah, he's been gone a very long time, but yet he still sells concert tickets. He still sells merchandise. He's still impacting generation after generation. We've got with us in studio Brenda Hatfield. She's with Omar Presents. They are the producers of Elvis, the Tribute Artist Spectacular. It's an annual event celebrating the King of Rock and Roll's birthday. And joining us, we're going to be having some of the Elvis Tribute Artists and one of the actual musicians that backed up Elvis during those Vegas years and on tour. If you love Elvis, you want to stay with us on A Look at the Arts. It's all happening after this.
We're caught in a trap. Can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see what you're doing to me when you don't believe a word I say? We can't.
Thank you. Thank you very much. That is Suspicious Minds, the King of Rock and Roll, Elvis Presley. We are celebrating all things Elvis today here on A Look at the Arts on the Lakeshore. I'm Tom Lounges, and as I mentioned in the beginning, it's that time of year. Elvis's birthday, January 8th. He was born 1935. And each and every year, we have come to depend on Omar Presents out of Northwest Indiana to take Elvis back on the road. And Brenda Hatfield, the right hand of that company, I'm so happy that you're here. We always have Omar here.
And always good to
today
see
today, it's you.
Yep.
Your debut on the show.
Woohoo!
Now, you are part of this organization for a long time.
Long time. 10 years.
What,
plus.
7 or 8 dates every year you guys do all over the country?
Yes. During January. Mm-hmm. Of course, we do, you know, other shows throughout the year. But we do 2 weeks tour in January, 2 to 3 weeks. And so...
Wow. Now, it starts actually next Thursday, January 5th, in Skokie at the North Shore Center of Performing Arts, followed by a show in Rockford at the Coronado Performing Arts Center, and then you bring it right back here to where it all started, Star Plaza Theater.
Star Plaza Theater, 30 years, 30-year anniversary.
Years. I think I've been to all but one of them. This is pretty cool.
It's an awesome thing, yeah.
And yet it's still selling tickets, I mean, like crazy. I mean, people are still flocking out. And today I want to try to address a little bit of that with some of the tribute artists we're going to be joined by on why Elvis, all these years after his death, you know, so many generations have come and gone, and at least 2 generations now that have been born and are following Elvis since he died, that didn't even know him alive. And yet this guy is still selling tickets and just impacting everybody.
And that's the greatest thing about it, Tom. You know, Elvis was the king of rock and roll. You know, he made music. He made, you know, the way for everyone's mm-hmm. path, you know, R&B and country and all of that.
My favorite era has got to be the Memphis years, you know, right after the comeback special when he was doing Wearing That Love Don Look and, you know, that kind of growly, Memphis-y, you know, kind of bluesy thing. And we were talking right before the show. Everybody knows that Elvis started it all. I mean, he was the guy that was the hillbilly cat that gave us all those great RCA hits. And then he went to Hollywood. And there were some really good movies. The early ones were really, really, really good. And then he did some not so good. And I was, just the other day, there's like an Elvis marathon on television every year at this time. And I was refreshing my memory on some of the old Elvis movies that I grew up loving as a kid. And I watched The Trouble with Girls. And God, I love Elvis, but I still, that was such a bad movie.
The girls still love it, though,
they
you know?
Did. I mean, he looked good in the white suit and the cigar, but the movie itself was pretty bad. And on that note, let's bring Ryan Pelton on. Ryan is one of the tribute artists, and Ryan portrays a lot of the movie years on your shows of Elvis. Ryan, are you here?
Yeah, good afternoon. How you all doing?
Good afternoon, hey, Ryan. Thank you so much for joining us. Where are you at today?
I am sitting in my office in Columbus, Ohio, trying to stay out of the cold.
All right. Yeah, everybody's fighting colds out here in Chicagoland, and I forgot you were a Midwest boy.
You know, I just moved back to Columbus, Ohio from Nashville just a little over a year ago, just to be closer to my folks. They retired, and mm-hmm. it's nice to be around and be able to help them out whenever I can.
Wow. I saw you at the Elvis Fantasy Fest, and you did a great job there for K-Lips, as you do all the time whenever you perform. And I just got to say, it's great to have you back on this tour. I know you missed one a couple years ago. You were busy making movies of your own, which actually were better than Trouble with Girls.
Well, that's debatable, but I appreciate that. Thank you.
I'm talking about the movie The Identical for the listeners out there with Ashley Judd, and it really is a good movie. So if you get a chance to rent that, do that. Ryan, let's talk a little bit, since you do feature in your show a lot of the Elvis movie years. That's part of what you do along with the 68 special. What are your thoughts on some of the movies? Why do you think Elvis was able to maybe bounce back is the wrong word, but you know, a lot of artists can make a bad movie or two and it kind of ruins their career. Elvis made a handful of really good ones, a couple mediocre, and then a couple of bad ones. But yet he was like Teflon. No matter what he did, no matter how many songs of the sea he sang and Do the Clams, he was still at the top. Why is that? Why any other artist of lesser caliber, I guess, would have suffered from that?
Well, you know, I've oftentimes thought about this, and you know, being an old movie buff myself, you know, I think that movies like King Creole, for example,
that was
stand
excellent.
Up to, you know, the contemporary movies of that time, and I think he did a fine job acting, especially, you know, King Creole, I believe Jailhouse Rock was another one. You know, some of the writing, you know, is what it is, but you can't blame that necessarily on the acting. And, you know, right. I think early on, he was in a good position. Of course, you know, money kind of talks, and I think down the road it just became a really inexpensive way to make a lot of money just to turn these things out, boom, 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 boom. You know, and the other thing I think you've got to look at is Elvis Presley from the music side just changed and revolutionized everything in 1956. I mean, what happened that year has never happened since, and it really just paved the road for rock and roll and the music industry for years to come. But, you know, that was a day and an age where we didn't really destroy our heroes.
Right.
You know, today, you know, with social media and everything else, it's kind of like everyone's just waiting for the hat to drop, you know, let's find something and misconstrue it to make it look like they did something bad because everything's sensationalized. But we didn't destroy our heroes back then. And I think that's kind of probably one of the main things that allowed him to even do some of those, you know, crazy movies. I hear 'em, scare 'em, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I have seen that.
So I think that's part of it, you know. But one thing that is interesting about Elvis, you can't deny it. You know, obviously he had this huge, massive beginning in 1956, and they didn't destroy their heroes. And it turned into one thing to the other to the other. But he had to recreate himself several times throughout mm-hmm. his career. And you see that with very few artists who have the longevity today that have been able to recreate themselves throughout their career and be significant over multiple decades. And he kind of paved the way for that, for sure.
Right, right. And the other thing that you are a big part of, and I think you're doing it on this tour again, is the 68 Comeback Special, the Black Leather Special. And I did an article for Elvis International Forum years ago with Al DeVoren helping me on that. And we talked with Steve Bender and all these guys that were connected. And that is a case that could have gone south real fast because Colonel Tom wanted it to be like a Perry Como special with Elvis in a frosty sweatshirt. And Elvis said, the heck with that. We're gonna put black leather on. We're going to do it my way. And it was like the only time he actually stood up to the colonel that I'm aware of. And it did. It reinvented him. It jump-started his career. And you portray that so well on stage. What were your thoughts when you saw that special?
Well, I'll be honest with you. Don't you think it's interesting that an entire era of Elvis's career is based upon a one-hour television show?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you want to talk about the significance of the moment throughout a, you know, almost three-decade career. It is there. And so I think you kind of look at it from, at least I do, in performing it. When you're out there, be in the moment and understand that for Elvis, being in the moment meant that this is make or break. And just like you said, it could have went south really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of have to have that edge, almost that, for lack of a better word, fear of failure.
Mm-hmm.
That I believe that brought a little bit of just a raw emotion to what Elvis did in the 68 Comeback Special. And I try to embody that. I know certainly in my life, having been in the Elvis business, try to get into the movie business, and then have to get back into the Elvis business, I can tell you I can relate to, you know, the fear of failure and things like that. So I try to, you know, think about these things when I'm out there. And I think it just gives it a little bit of an extra edge. And, you know, you try to present, you know, the character in as many different ways as you can. So mm-hmm. that's one of the things I try to keep in mind.
Well, I remember I interviewed DJ Fontana, Elvis's drummer, who was there at the 68 special playing on the back of the guitar case, as you recall. And I have only had a few moments here and there with DJ over the years. And he's shared some great stories. One of them being that I said, well, what was it like? How did you come to be on that special? He said, Elvis wanted to surround himself with some familiar faces because he was at that crossroads and he knew it. And he goes, he was so scared, but we all knew he had it. And he needed us to kind of reaffirm him that he had it, even though it was never in doubt. And I thought, how strong of a statement that was. Now, you have had the luxury of touring with DJ Fontana as part of this entourage and at different events over the years. And because you play the 68 Elvis so often, have you picked his brain at all about what it was like to get into the mindset of Elvis at that point in his career so you can convey that on stage?
You know, DJ is not just a great guy, but he's a good friend. And take a lot of pride in the fact that we've become friends over the years beyond the Elvis world, so to speak. And, you know, I talked to him about, you know, we have a friendship based upon things other than Elvis, so mm-hmm. we don't always talk about Elvis, but when we do, that's really exactly what I try to do. Just, you know, because we can watch video, we can listen to him sing, and we can watch his movies and everything else, but to get to know the man has been always what interests me the most, because in understanding the man, you can sometimes then figure out maybe where his mind was at and why certain things came out certain ways, why things sounded certain ways, and what this song might have meant at this moment when he was singing it. And so that's something I talk to him about all the time, not just about the 68 comeback special, but, you know, early on in the movies and certainly their days, you know, in the early 50s, mm-hmm. they were on the road, and just trying to get a feel for who the man was, you know, because that's really kind of an integral part of what we're trying to do, at least on stage.
Right. And your black leather outfit looks exactly like the one Elvis had. Did you have that custom made for you?
Yeah, B&K Enterprises makes that. They do a great job. I just got a brand new one.
Okay.
So excited. The first time I'll be pulling it out will be on this tour. So excited. It should be nice and shiny.
All right. I feel sorry for you up there, man. That leather's got to be hot. The other guys have the jumpsuits and the, you know, the ties and the shirts. They can open the collar. You're up there packed up like a sardine in that leather and it's under those hot lights. I feel for you, brother.
You know what, though? It's kind of a in a weird, sick sort of way. It's kind of motivational, you know, because, you know, you're sitting there and you're singing a song and you're aware that the sweat is just pouring off of you all over your costume.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as disgusting, I guess, as that is, you also kind of know in the moment that, well, at least I'm giving it something, you know?
Right, right.
Giving it some effort, you know? So, but I do, it doesn't have, I don't even have to be in black leather. I sweat like Paris Hilton on Jeopardy. So.
All right. Ryan Pelton, you can keep up with him at www.ryanpelton.com. And, of course, see him on the Omar Presents Tribute Artist Spectacular Birthday Edition Tour. And you guys are going to be going all over the Midwest. You're going up to New York, I understand, a few other places. Now, you're playing Cleveland, Ohio. Do you find your following is stronger when you come on in Ohio, or is it pretty much the same everywhere?
It's probably, there's probably a little bit more. It's kind of funny. I'm a stranger in my hometown here, so I do very little work actually in you know, Columbus or the surrounding areas,
mm-hmm.
Which is kind of nice. I kind of like to just kind of float under the radar and
kick it back when you're at home.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but yeah, there is a good fan base, especially from when I first started out. That comes down to Cincinnati as well as up to Cleveland, and
mm-hmm.
but of course there's people everywhere, and I mean, they're Elvis fans first, and I think that's amazing. And just here we are, all these years later, and we're still celebrating this. It's a testament to his music.
It truly is.
Amen.
I mean, there's so many artists we've lost this year that are considered legends, David Bowie, Prince, folks like that, that I'm sure their music is going to live on. But, you know, 40, 50 years from now, we'll see just how strong their impact still is. I mean, I'm sure people will remember, but not like Elvis. Nothing like
yeah,
this guy.
There's something special, no doubt about it.
All right. Ryan, thank you for joining us. We will see you when you hit the Star Plaza Theater here in Northwest Indiana on Saturday, January 7th.
I'm excited. We're going to rock it.
All right. Thanks
Ryan. Talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. Thanks.
All right. We're going to play a song now that Ryan does in the show. This is G.I. Blues.
Give us a room with a view of the beautiful Rhine. Give us a room with a view of the beautiful Rhine. Give me a muddy old creek in Texas or any old time. I got those 1, 2, 3, 4 occupation G.I. blues. From my G.I. hat to the heels of my G.I. shoes. And if I don't go stateside soon, I'm gonna blow my fuse. We'll get Hoss and Pfeffer and Black Pumpernickel for chow.
We get Hoss and Pfeffer and Black Pumpernickel for chow. I blow my next month's pay for a slice of a Texas cow. We'd like to be heroes, but all that we do here is mark. We'd like to be heroes, but all that we do here is march. And they don't give the Purple Heart for a falling arch. I got the 1, 2, 3 for a occupation G.I. Blues.
G.I. Blues,
from my G.I. hair to the heels of my G.I.
shoes. G.I. Blues.
And if I don't go stateside soon, I'm gonna pull my fuse. The front lines are pretty as flowers, but we can't make a pass. The front lines are pretty as flowers, but we can't make a pass. Cause they're always signs saying, keep it to you off the grass. I got to hop to Occupation G.I.
Blues,
from my G.I. hat to the heels of my G.I.
shoes.
And if I don't go stateside soon, I'm gonna blow my fuse.
Occupation G.I. Blues.
Occupation G.I. Blues.
Occupation G.I. Blues. That is the title track of one of Elvis's more memorable movies. Again, a musical. Not a lot of substance in the story, but it was a good movie. It was fun. And I think Elvis epitomized fun in many ways. And certainly that's what this tour is all about. Omar presents the Elvis Tribute Artist Spectacular Birthday Edition, kicking off once again in Skokie, for those listeners that are out in that area. Thursday, January 5th, North Shore Center for Performing Arts. Coronado Performing Arts Center in Rockford the next night on Friday the 6th, and then right here in Northwest Indiana where it all started, January 7th, that's Saturday, and that's at Merrillville Star Plaza Theater. And then it takes off and goes elsewhere, right, Brenda?
Yep, we head up to Cleveland on the 8th, on January 8th, Elvis's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And
seems appropriate since the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is there and DJ's in the Hall of Fame. And
yeah, it'll be another great year there. We're so excited just to, you know, celebrate the music and celebrate the life of Elvis and what he is meant to people and continues to mean mm-hmm. to people today.
Now, because of the fact that we lost Scotty Moore and we lost Joe Esposito, who was a big part of this tour early on, Joe it was, not Scotty so much, but is there any kind of moment of silence, tribute, anything going on any of these dates?
I'm sure that we'll have many moments of silence, for many people that we've lost through the years that have been just such an inspiration to all of us, you mm-hmm. know, to continue on what we love doing, you know, and,
right.
and that's, you know, continuing on, Elvis's beautiful tradition and his music. There'll be lots of tributes.
And what we haven't mentioned yet, I mean, just passing with Ryan there, was DJ Fontana, the Tennessee Thunder, the man who gave Elvis the beat, who helped those pelvises sway. I mean, he's there. In the flesh, telling stories, still playing drums.
Still playing drums like he's 20 years old. It's amazing. And what a great inspiration he is. And just, you know.
He's the last of the core group of the living legends.
Yeah.
And he's got some great stories to share. And
he does. And just what a great person. And, you know, we've all been so blessed to just be able to, you know, work with these people and sing with them and talk with them and share stories and learn all the wonderful things that Elvis has done, you know, that he had done in his life.
Right. And speaking of great singers, we've got Sean Clush on with us. He is the Vegas era, the closer of the tour for the last several years. Sean, are you there?
I'm right here.
All right. Where are you calling from today, Sean?
At my home. We're home.
Okay.
For a little bit.
So you gearing up for the big tour? Are you psyching yourself up for this Elvis Spectacular Birthday Show?
All geared up. Getting ready to roll.
This is like a 7 or 8 date tour, correct, Brenda?
Correct. Yeah, we do 4 days our first week, and then we head down to Indianapolis, Cincinnati, and Louisville, and finish up the tour in Louisville.
Okay. Now, a lot of people think, okay, these guys just put on their jumpsuits and black leather for this month of Elvis. And, of course, you are a working musician, Sean. You're out there all the time. I think we need to establish that.
Yeah, I wish it were that simple because it's not. If it was that simple, you know, we'd all be in there'd be 7 million people doing the show.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't be that easy. You know, so it's very not that easy to put on that type of show, especially when you have a stage that, you know, maxed out with, at 2 or 3 points, 15, 20 people on stage. I mean, that's a difficult thing to keep together. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And we pull it off all the time.
We all the time. And that's because when push comes to shove, we're like a family. You know, we go, yeah, well, something happened.
Better than family.
Or whatever. We all hunker down and we go, okay, forget about it, move on.
And you know, one of the best things that we do, and this is something we should mention with when Estelle comes online, one of my most favorite things is, right before Sean goes on stage.
Mm-hmm.
What do we do, Sean, right before you go on stage?
We get scared.
We get scared. And then we hold hands and...
Us, the Sweet Inspirations, everybody, we get on stage and we all get in a big circle and we say, forget what you know and go out there and have fun. No, but we do say a big prayer and we thank him for letting us have a job. You
mm-hmm.
know what I mean? And remembering his stuff and big prayers.
Now, you mentioned the family connection and watching you on stage, especially with the Sweets. There seems to be a real bond there, a real passion when you talk to them.
I don't know what they all said, but they are more than just friends to me, or more than just a musician to me. They truly are. When I called them my sisters, I mean it, because we've had many a talk on tour buses over in England and just things.
Long rides and long talks.
Right, and they're just you know why that I always had them around.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not just because of their singing abilities, but they have other qualities that a lot of people wouldn't know unless you were with them. You
right.
know what I mean?
We were just talking with Ryan Pelton, and I was asking him, since mm-hmm. you guys are privy to spending so much time with these folks that actually knew and loved Elvis and sang with Elvis, do you draw a lot of that out of them? I mean, I know you don't want to talk shop all the time, but has that really helped your performance and getting into the Elvis persona?
Well, I think just what it does is it puts you... If it gives it a reality check, because this guy was so big and so everything that you go, man, you know, I remember being, 7, 8 years old and going to myself, is this guy real? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a Santa Claus type figure. He's so big. He's known everywhere. So
you ain't talking about Omar, are you?
No.
Sorry, but, I had to throw that one in there.
So I remember going, this guy was so big and so this and so that. So then when you're around Donnie Sumner from the Stamps, and mm-hmm. all of a sudden, you know enough not to approach them with an Elvis story, because the first thing they'll do is just go, yeah, you know, they don't want to talk shop either. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
But Joe Esposito, dear, 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 dear friend of mine that I became extremely close with.
We were just talking about Joe, in the passing of him and Scotty this year. And
right.
It's just so sad.
The thing of it is I was coming off stage in Vegas. At the same hotel that they shot That's the Way It Is at.
Is that the old International?
Old International.
I was just there last year.
We filled it. I'm doing my show. I'm wearing the same clothes. We got almost the same parts of the band and everything. And out of the corner of my eye, I mean, I seen Joe in the audience with his daughter, but out of the corner of my eye and in the wing, I see Joe standing there with a towel.
Wow.
And I had to stop myself for a second in the middle of the show. So I finished the last song. I came off. He immediately takes the towel, puts it on the front of my chest, grabs me, and takes me right down the step, moving people out of the way, takes me right down to the dressing room, goes in, shuts the door, and locks it.
Wow.
And it was to have somebody who did that for, who he did it for, to do it for you was and I don't think he did it because he felt like, well, this is part of the show. He did it because we're buddies.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And,
right.
And that's the way he felt. So
it's all about the care.
Terrible love.
Very much so.
You are considered the best of the best. There's a lot of Elvis tribute artists out there worldwide, and you have performed and been named the top by the BBC. You've been named the top in Memphis. How hard is it to maintain that level? I mean, that's a lot of praise and a lot of accolades, and every day you got to go out there and earn that. I mean, how hard are you on yourself as far as rehearsals? And...
Ex- Extremely, extremely. None of it's easy, and I don't ever let it get ahead of me. And I've always, one thing I've always said, I was never going to be, you know, an arrogant or a guy who says, yeah, I'm the man. I had a pretty strong upbringing, and my daddy wouldn't let me say that even to myself in the mirror if I was kidding around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
He'd let me punch you for that one.
Yeah, he would. Yeah, he would. He would.
And you had that great upbringing, and you know, I think that has made you that solid foundation that you are.
Yeah.
You know, none of us take any of this for granted. It's, you know, these guys are just phenomenal, and it's what we love to do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a love for the music and a love for Elvis and what all the things that he has done.
Well, over the years, this is the 30th year, and Brenda, you and I go back a long ways, and you know, back in the 80s, I was involved very deeply with the Elvis world.
Oh, that's when I was about 2.
Yeah. You followed me around. You're an ankle biter.
There's no lying on this show.
But back then, a lot of the Elvis artists, really, there was a feuding going on. It was rivalries. It was horrible. And I don't see that now. I mean, I was just working, like I said, with K-Lips over at the Elvis Fantasy Fest, and a lot of the Elvis guys come out. Ryan comes out, Quentin Flagg, all these different guys, Irv Cass. I see it at your shows where you guys just you hang out. I mean, I don't, you know, I get to go backstage a little bit so I can see, you know, it's not just an act for the public when you're out there signing autographs. You guys actually like hang together. And how did it change so much? What is it that changed? I mean, the rivalries are gone with the older guys, and it seems like you guys have all embraced the whole passion of Elvis. It's like you're parts of each other now.
I think it's just a mutual respect, you know, of for what we do and
you
what
know,
they're
it
doing.
Wasn't it like that back in the day.
Well, back in the day, it wasn't. You know, it was like, oh, I'm better than him, or I'm better than him, or, you know.
His jumpsuits aren't as good as mine.
I mean, I'm prettier, I'm taller, I'm cuter. Oh, he's got fake hair, you know.
Yeah.
But no, you know, these guys are professionals, and, you know, and that's the best part. You know, I'm backstage all the time.
Right.
And I get to see them all cutting up. You know, we're in the green room watching football, you know, and cutting up and having a good time. And, you know, it's the extended family that you don't want to see at Christmas and you get to see after Christmas. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's just it's like a whole family getting back together and celebrating, you know, the great man.
Wow. Sean, any final thoughts on anything Elvis or show related or anything you're up to?
Yeah, anybody that wants to do this, don't. We don't need any more competition. No, the only thing I could say is if anybody who is listening, just before you go, oh man, there's another guy thinking he's Elvis. Before you do that, remember that we have the original players that actually stood on stage with him, and if they have enough respect to come out and check it out, then you should leave your inhibitions behind. And if you like Elvis, and even if you don't, the music, the band itself on their own can collect accolades because they're that good. So when you put them together, you can only imagine, you know, the sound. And that's the thing. Just give it a chance before you don't give it a chance.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because it really is, it really does pay tribute.
And
you know what I mean?
Probably more so than any other tour or any other event out there, because you've got Danny Lentino, who's been doing this since I was a baby. And, you know, Brenda wasn't even here yet.
I wouldn't even thought.
If there wasn't that man, there'd be, I don't know how he does it. He's Superman.
I think he's Superman to all of us. You know, hats off to Mr. Dan Lentino. He is just.
There's no.
What
an
awesome person. I think we all, put a lot on his shoulders.
Right. And he is the band leader, and he is the guy that kind of directs everything from the stage. So I've been doing this for years.
That's it. That's the go-to guy. Without that, we're a vehicle with no motor.
All right.
Hey, do you remember that time you guys were broke down and Dan took Stell's cane and was hitting the motor with he's going to get the car started?
That was funny.
When you guys were on tour, I got pictures of that.
We're in South America and a dang bus broke down and Danny grabs Stell's cane and he's whacking the engine with it.
Did it start?
No.
Did it work?
It was the funniest thing you ever saw. You know, it was like, I don't think that's going to help.
Wow, that's funny. Now, if it would have started, that would have been an Elvis movie
right
there.
That would have been a really good moment.
But the whole funny thing about it was he had enough, like, in other words, he knew it wasn't going to work, but hell, do something.
You know what I mean? Right.
We all got a good laugh out of that one.
Wow.
Right. Oh, the laugh wasn't the word.
All right. We will see you on this tour coming to the Star Plaza a week from this Saturday, the 7th. SeanClush.com is where you can keep up with Sean's career. And, of course, you can keep up with the Elvis Spectacular Tour at, what is that address?
ETA.
ETASpectacular.com and get your tickets there. We're going to close out with a song. Speaking of Dan Lentino, he was the band leader on this recording. This is Sean Clush doing what he does best, doing Elvis. And this is Live at the Foxwoods. Thank you, Sean, for joining us.
Thanks, buddy. I'll talk
Thanks
to you soon.
So
this is Sean Clush.
So I spoke of J.D. Sumner before. I spoke of a lot of people, but in the recording studio when we did this song, I looked over at J.D. and I had an opportunity to really get close to him. And it was a special thing for me to be able to do because I never thought I could do this. And he made everything worthwhile. And he always told me that those doing this song on stage live with Elvis was an unbelievable thing. So I'm just happy that I had the opportunity to do so. This song goes out to him. Thank you, JD, for all your time, pal. I love you.
And now the end is near, so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway. Oh, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do, saw it through without exemption. I planned each chartered course, each careful step along the byway. Oh, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew when I belong more like a Jew. But through it all, my fill, my share of losing. And now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that. And may I say, and he has not. His set of words he truly feels, and of the words I love is. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. The record shows I took the blows and
it his way. The King of Rock and Roll, Elvis, took that song from Frank Sinatra and truly made it his own. A guy that paved his own way, set the rules, set the bars high, and we are still loving him and rocking with him to this day, all these years after his death. And we have spoken earlier in the show with Ryan Pelton and Sean Clush.
And now we've got a very special guest joining us. This song will give you a clue.
I need your sweet I need you here on my mind every hour of the day. Without your sweet inspiration, the lonely hours of the night just don't go my way. Oh, woman.
Have you figured it out yet, who our next guest is? Of course you have. Joining us right now, one of the original Sweet Inspirations who backed up Elvis on every record and every concert he did in the 1970s. This lady is truly amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, please meet
Estelle Brown. How are you, Estelle?
Hi, I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm fine.
I'm doing better than ever.
Good. Hey, Mrs. Still, good to hear your voice.
We've got some Elvis talking to do, but before, I'm so glad you're in good health. I know last year we were talking, and you were a little under the weather, and I love seeing you on that stage every year. It wouldn't be the Elvis Spectacular without you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's good to be there.
We were talking with Sean just a few minutes ago, and he was telling us about how before you guys go on, you do a prayer circle. And
oh, yes, we do.
Is that something that you inspired because that was what happened backstage with Elvis?
That it's important that we have a prayer before we do the show.
Mm-hmm.
Because we realize it's not us, but it's the God in us that's doing the show. So we want God to use us to bless the people. And the only way we can do that is to ask him.
Amen.
Last time you and I spoke, you were telling me some wonderful stories about how Elvis would gear up for things, and you guys would go back and you would sing the gospel songs that he learned as a young boy in church, and that was his go-to place, his safe place, his security blanket before anything and everything, personal or business.
Exactly. That should be everybody's go-to place for whatever's going on in their life. Mm-hmm. They should have a go-to place, which is prayer.
Now, what was Elvis like offstage? I know you were very close with him as a friend, as well as a background singer and a touring artist. He went to you guys because he did have spiritual needs, and he was overworked and overstressed and had so much on his shoulders being Elvis.
Right.
What was he like offstage when he had those quieter moments?
It's just like you said, he was a friend, and that way I see it. He was a very, very dear friend. I tell most people, if they have asked them, have they ever seen the show Touched by an Angel?
Mm-hmm.
There's a show that comes on called Touched by... Well, we were all touched by the same angel. I believe Elvis was an angel put here to help us get ourselves together, and that was through music.
The fact that his Grammys were won for his gospel albums and some of the biggest accolades he ever got in the music business. I mean, yeah, sure, he was the king of rock and roll, but when he sang a gospel song, I mean, it was down to his toes. You could feel the passion. Do you think that had we not lost him so many years ago at age 42, that he would have gone more into the gospel realm of music and kind of sidestepped the other stuff that was coming up the ranks?
Yes, I do. I really do. If Elvis had wanted to, he could have been a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Had he wanted to. But he decided that he could reach more people singing what he sang. Because as we know, people rather hear the rock rather than the gospel.
Right. Yet he always inserted that into the show, no matter where he was, whether it was Sin City, Vegas, or on tour. There was always a moment or two in the show where he would stop the crowd, say, listen to this. And he'd have you or the Stamps or the Jordanaires come up and do gospel music. And he would talk about, you know, he would control the crowd, thousands of people, and you could hear a pin drop.
Exactly. That's just the way he was. And, you know, people could, he's the king. He's the king of. He would tell you in a flat minute, no, I am not the king. We have one king, and that's King Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the way he felt.
What do you think?
That's the way he believed.
What do you think caused Elvis to pass so early? I mean, he had the best of everything, and he never seemed happy. I mean, from the outside looking in, he just seemed like a workhorse. Like he lived when he was on stage, and everything else, as we come to know, he wasn't a happy man. I mean, his marriage didn't work. I mean, he loved his daughter. He loved his friends. But, you know, you were in that circle. What could have been different that would have made him, you know, a happy person? He brought so much joy to everybody else.
If he had been left alone to do what Elvis felt like he could or would do, then I think he would have been happy. You know, he was at the point that he couldn't even go out to a movie or to a recreation place. He couldn't do it because people, not because they wanted to hurt him, not because they didn't love him, but because they were so excited about seeing him, they would grab him and pull him and they would scratch him up and bruise him and stuff. They didn't mean any harm, but that's the way it was. So I guess he couldn't take that, you know?
So he had to kind of be a recluse in his own gilded cage, so to speak.
Exactly.
Wow. What is one of your favorite memories of Elvis?
One of my favorite, all of them are my favorites, but let me see what I can point out. Oh, I tell you what, and which is unbelievable. We were working with Elvis in Vegas, the Sweet Inspiration, Sylvia, Myrna, Sissy, and myself. Sylvia got sick and had to go to the hospital. She went to the hospital and they diagnosed her cancer. She came back all upset. Everybody was upset. Elvis came in, what's the matter? And we told him, would you believe this man immediately dropped on his knees, put his hand on her stomach, prayed for her, and told her, don't worry about a thing. Well, she had to go back the next day for another exam. How about they couldn't find not a trace of cancer? Is that
power
amazing?
Of prayer.
Is that amazing?
That is unbelievable.
That's the power of prayer.
But it's true. Well, I'm getting ready to cry. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, you got me all teary-eyed over here, Estelle. But it is the power of prayer. You know that. You're the one that taught me all that, you know.
Yeah,
you know.
Because it works.
It does work. And, you know, a lot of people don't know that about Elvis, about what a really spiritual man that he was.
Exactly. And
he gave you that spirit, you know. He's still giving us all that spirit.
Okay.
Now, you had mentioned a while back when we had talked in previous years, you weren't sure you wanted the Sweets. The Sweets as a group didn't think that Elvis and the Sweets would be a good match because it just didn't seem right. But that it turned out to be one of the greatest adventures of your life.
It really is and still is.
Amen for that.
You know, I tell people I'm not going to say I've had a good life. I'll say I'm having a good life. Because I'm not dead, so I'm still having a wonderful time.
Yeah.
Now, how much work do you still do? I know you are out every year with Omar and with Brenda. You are always there. You're cornerstone of this tour. Are you doing a lot of other stuff too at this point?
Yes, with Sean. Yes.
Okay.
Sean does a lot of work, and basically wherever he goes, we're there.
All right. The Sweets had always been a three-piece, sometimes four-piece. Yes. Now it's you and Portia. Have you thought of adding a third vocal to that?
We think about it, but I don't know. I don't know how it's going to pan out.
Okay.
Let me put it that way.
We've always got Brenda here. I've heard about the Me 3 group.
Oh, yeah. we have a wonderful time.
Keep on living.
Don't we?
Hey, Stel, we were talking with Sean earlier, and he had mentioned, you know, I think you guys were in Brazil, and the van broke down that you were in, and Danny got your cane out, and he's going to fix the car.
Fix the car with my cane. Oh, Lord. But it didn't work.
No.
it didn't work.
Not enough juju in that cane, I guess, to make it
really
work. Well, Estelle, is there any final thoughts that you'd like to share with us? We've got about 4 or 5 minutes left, and then we're going to close out with The Sweets and Elvis doing Just Can't Help Believin'.
Oh, okay.
Love that song. But
I would share that whoever has not seen the show, if they've never seen an Elvis show, they need to come to this show. This is just as close as they will ever get.
And that show we're talking about, the Elvis Spectacular, the Elvis Tribute Artist Spectacular.
Exactly.
Thursday, the 5th in Skokie, the 6th in Rockford, and, of course, right here where it all started in Merrillville, Indiana, on Saturday, the 7th, and then it continues on through the Midwest. Are you hitting New York again?
We will be back in New York in August. We do Westbury Music Theater.
Westbury.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then we head up to the Poconos.
Yeah, right. I love the Poconos.
Oh, me too.
And you can find all that information at etaspectacular.com. Remember to keep up with some of the guys, Ryan Pelton, of course, ryanpelton.com, seanclush.com. And Estelle, you need to get a website back up.
We do have one.
I can't find it. What is it? Sweets?
SweetInspirationMusic.com.
Music. That's it. Okay.
That's the key.
Well, now we got to start promoting that. Well, thank you for your time, my sweet lady.
You're welcome.
God bless you.
God bless
Stay
you, Mrs.
safe.
Thank
you. Love you. Happy New Year.
I love you, too. You, too, Brenda.
Talk to you soon.
I'll see you in a day or two.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, honey.
Bye-bye.
All right. From That's the Way It Is, the Sweet Inspirations with Elvis and Just Can't Help Believin', as we remind you once again, ETASpectacular.com, featuring the artists we've had on today, DJ Fontana,
along with
Rick Sesito from Chicagoland will be there, and Cody Slaughter. So there you go.
I just can't help believing when she smiles up soft and gentle with a trace of misty morning and a promise of tomorrow in her eyes. I just can't help believing when she's lying close beside me and my heart beats with the rhythm of her sighs. This time the girl is gonna stay. This time the girl is gonna stay. Just a day. Well, I just can't help believing when she slips her hand in my hand and it feels so small and helpless that my fingers fold around it like a glove. I just can't help believing when she's whispering her magic and her tears are shining honey sweet with love. This time the girl is gonna stay.
This time the girl is gonna stay.
This time the girl is gonna stay. Today.
Is all, baby.
Oh, I just can't help believing.
One more time.
Oh, I just can't help believing.
Yeah, one more.
Oh, I just can't help believing.
For more than just a day. Oh, I just can't help believing. She slips her hand in my hand
and it feels so small and helpless, and my fingers fold around it like a glove. I just can't help believing when she smiles and whispers magic, and her tears are shining on me sweet with love. This time the girl is gonna stay.
This time the girl is gonna stay.
This time the girl is gonna stay. Just a day.
Oh, I just can't help believing.
Take it, man.